What if kittens played the glockenspiel? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time? We welcome you to What If World. What if world? This is What If World.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Rarick, your host, and today we're starting off with a question from a patron named Keelan. Keelan writes, what if every time Abacus stepped onto the sidewalk, he had to dance? Oh, I can't wait to find out. Now, before we get into the story, we've got to tell you a little bit about last week's episode. A pair of animate khaki pants somehow took over all of What If World, leaving Fred the dog trapped in the Jamaloo house on top of a volcano, along with Molimo, JF Cat, Mama Jemma, and Zach.
Oh, don't forget me.
And Papaloo, who is locked in the shed.
Who is doing the news show from the shed?
Fair enough. So that episode was called Adopt a Fred, because all of your votes have been coming in for weeks from across the world, saying who you think Fred the dog will want to live with. And the finalists were the Jamaloos, Molimo, and JF Cat. Well, they're all trapped in Howie the rocket ship house on top of Molimo's volcano. They're each taking turns telling a story. And because Dancy Pantsy is temporarily, let's hope, the ruler of What If World, all of these stories have to involve music or dance somehow. And maybe these stories will help us figure out how we will defeat Dancy Pantsy and take back What If World once and for all until another kid asks a What If question and it ends up conquered. You kids really love taking over a What If World. So I want to get back to our characters, all crammed inside the Jamaloo house, and find out what if every time Abacus stepped onto the sidewalk, he had to dance. Your story starts after a quick break.
Good evening, everyone, or whatever time you're listening, and welcome back to Papaloo's News, giving fair and balanced coverage of all the improvements made by our benevolent overlord, Dancy Pantsy.
The radio crackled as Papaloo spoke. Last week, Dancy Pantsy had trapped everyone, but now...
Hi, who's doing the news here, Mr. Eric?
Excuse me, carry on.
But now, certain loyal khaki-wearing subjects are being allowed to leave their homes and explore the beige new world created by Dancy Pantsy. Now, if he could just get those khakis delivered to the top of this volcano, I'll put him on right away and finally be able to leave this shed.
Oh, Papaloo,
said Mama Jemma, Papaloo's wife, manager of the Bakeroof factory, and mother to Zach and Zizi.
You couldn't stand up to this President Pantsy for 1 week.
Oh, but it's so hot in here. But it smells like the garbage the raccoons won't eat.
Oh, I want to smell that,
said Fred the dog. He was an old pug with a tongue too long for his mouth. And even this creaky, sedentary doggy was feeling kinda cooped up.
Dad, I know it's awful right now, but I'm gonna need you to stay strong,
said Zach, Mama Jemma and Papaloo's second child. They'd all been feeling worried this past week, especially since Zizi, Zach's big sister, had been away at summer camp when everyone was suddenly trapped by Dancy Pantsy. They knew she was safe with Abacus P. Grumbler, but everyone was starting to feel more and more tense as the days went by.
This just in, Mr. Eric is trying to make me feel worse.
Well, Dad, you've always taught me that the first step to solving a problem is seeing a problem. So why don't you try reporting about that?
Oh, but it's so hard.
Then at least stop publicly professing your love of this unclawful dictator,
said JF Cat, a big fluffy black and white cat, and a former president himself.
You're right. The news must remain fair and...
Ethiclaw.
Yeah, that one. It's just so hot in here.
Maybe if I tell an interesting story, it will distract you from your predicament,
said Molamo, the big lava person, from just outside Howie House.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Molamo, but canonically, I'm the one who meowdifies his vocabulary.
I'm sorry. I usually don't spend so much time around other people. It's having a strange psychological effect on me.
You did it again, Molamo.
All right. Just let me tell a story. Since I can't leave this volcano, perhaps I can whisk us all away with my imagination. One thing I've learned from my centuries of life as a lonely lava person is that sometimes you must take space from your problems. I said to Abacus P. Grumbler.
Yes, I understand that in theory, but right now I've been forced into these magical khakis that make me dance every time I step upon the sidewalk.
So I'm going to take space from this problem. The end.
What?
Said Zack.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Molamo, but we've all taken a week off from these problems. I think now it's time for us to start dealing with them,
said Mamma Jamma.
Well, it's too bad I'm trapped here and can't talk to Abacus P. Grumbler.
I'm right here, Molamo,
said the muffled voice of Abacus P. Grumbler.
What was that? I must have indigestion.
No, I'm on the obsidian ball hidden in your belly.
That's like a cell phone for lava people.
Is not.
Is too. Now please just talk to me. I've been taking care of all of these summer camp kids, but I feel the magic of these khaki pants trying to make me more flat and beige and only creased down the middle rather than everywhere.
Oh no, I said to Abacus, finally reaching into my lava pocket and pulling out the obsidian orb to better see his face. It was alarmingly less crinkly than usual.
All of my hard-earned wrinkles have just been folded into one crease in the middle of my face. All my freckles from decades spent playing and exploring under the sun, gone.
That's when I had an idea. Abacus, I said, you're wearing the khakis. Thus you can travel freely.
Yes, I fail to see your point.
You should simply leave this planet. Go somewhere without sidewalks and evil khaki creatures. Problems solved.
You're suggesting I leave these children and all the rest of you for a planet where I don't know anyone.
You seem unconvinced. I know what I want my story to be now.
Didn't you already kind of tell a story? Wait a second, Zack. I want to see where this is going.
And go it shall, across the galaxy and the centuries.
Ooh, my interest is piqued.
Long ago, on the world of Magmonia, there was a child named Molamo, whose only friend was a tap-dancing wizard.
Wait, I'm in this story?
Said Abacus, who was mostly a happy fellow, except that he always had to dance on our sidewalks.
Molamo, whatever shall we do to find acceptance and tap-dance on our own terms?
But I ignored Abacus, because I was focused on my artwork.
Ooh, you're an artist? I had no idea.
Yes, young Molamo was passionate about his lava boils.
And you're sure lava boil is the name you want to go with?
Maybe I should call them sunplops.
You know what? Lava boils is fine. Let's see them.
I held out what I'd been working on. It glowed within our lava rock cavern.
Molamo,
It's wondrous, like liquid sunlight. Except are those other colors shifting below the surface of the orange lava?
That's not even the best part.
Molimar, I've never seen you excited like this.
We must show the world.
And not just because I really want to get out of this cavern, where it's about 6,000 degrees or so.
Yes, you're right. It is a bit chilly in here. Let's go see my friend Dingorn.
Oh, as long as he's not on the sidewalk.
So we left the sidewalk. Abacus's wizard slippers somehow making a tap-dancing sound.
Oh, and also, they cast a constant cooling spell on me.
Yes, to the Arctic wizard, it felt no hotter than 100 degrees. Celsius! We finally reached the opulent lava glass mansion of my friend Dingorn.
Hello, Molimo. What are you doing here? Have you already finished my math homework?
Said Dingorn. He was small and bright blue, his temperature the highest of all the lava children. So I gave him his homework, an obsidian disc I pulled from one of my lava pockets.
Very good. I hope you showed your work this time.
Hey, no one gets to talk to my friend Molimo that way. He is an artist,
said Abacus.
Oh, is that so?
Dingorn sounded dubious, so I produced my lava boil and held it aloft.
What sort of thing is this?
Said Dingorn, reaching out to touch it. Wait, you weren't supposed to do that yet.
What is this?
The lava boil popped, the colors within mixing in chaos, the lava itself spreading and rapidly cooling as it settled.
Molimo, despite nearly melting me into a puddle, all this lava cooled, shaping itself into a beautiful pre-painted lava rock sculpture.
And it also ruined my homework.
Indeed, Dingorn's obsidian disc was too close to the lava boil, and it became permanently incorporated into the sculpture.
Oh, Molimo, you are so hopelessly strange.
Strange? Have you seen my shuffle ball change? It looks more like a riffle shuffle shim sham, and I'm not even sure that's a thing.
Yes, exactly. You surround yourself with people like that. You make weird art that nobody understands, and you can't even be relied upon to help your friends with their math homework.
I said nothing, my head held low. But then Abacus burst out.
Oh, Dingorn, you have it all wrong. You are so lucky to know someone like Molimo.
But since you can't appreciate him, we're going to leave this planet forever and live together on the sun, where I won't have to do any more tap dancing, and these evil khakis will finally burn off of me, because it's even hotter there.
Wait, Molimo, I'm not sure I love this plan.
But then suddenly he was sure that he loved that plan.
Oh, never mind. I love the plan. Let's go!
The end.
Wow, Molimo. You know, it's really brave how you shared your art in that story.
And I'm sorry that Dingorn shut you down like that.
Yeah, he sounds like a real snowball, which I assume is a bad thing on Magmonia.
What are you all saying?
Molimo, you faced rejection, sharing something very personal to you, and that must have been hard. But today, you've shared it again, among friends.
Oh yeah, Molimo, I'd love to see one of those lava boils in real life.
Really?
Are you kidding me? It's like painting plus sculpture plus danger.
Zack,
you all feel that way?
Well, it's more important what you feel about your art. But yes, and I bet If you had showed your lava boils to others on Magmonia, many would have accepted it, others would have celebrated it, and many more would have rejected it.
Oh, rejection's a part of life. Not even everybody likes my old musty dog smell or my filthy dirty tongue. But I like those things about me.
Okay, sorry to interrupt everyone. But since the story has ended, I am still back at the Cleo Castle, trying to protect these children. Only Scully the Squid's khakis keep getting slimy and slipping off.
So what? I've learned that we should all be allowed to be ourselves, and...
Well, this just in, people aren't all allowed to be themselves anymore. In fact, if you're not wearing these khakis, there's probably a bunch of pears trying to get you right now.
No, no, let them go.
Let who go? Who are they getting? Not my Zizi.
I'm okay, Mom,
sounded Zizi's voice from the obsidian orb.
But Mom, the khakis are trying to take Scully away, and I've got to do something.
Zizi, no. Dancy Pants is too powerful. Charlene's question said that even the most powerful people in What If World couldn't stop him.
Well, I'm not the most powerful, Mom, but I know a spell or two.
And I'm with her, Mama Gemma. We will get Scully back, somehow.
And I'm gonna help, the only way I can, while trapped in this house.
Mama Gemma reached out the window, where your What If questions floated by like starlight, and she found one from Darcy, age 12.
Fred, I know I'm not getting my chance to tell a story this week, and I know you may not end up living with us.
But we're all gonna need to work together to save Scully the Squid.
And take down this Dancy Pantsy.
It's time for me to stop running from my problems.
And it's time for all of you to get Papa Lou unstuck from this shed.
We've got Darcy's question.
But we could use ideas from the rest of you to help us save the day. Even though Dancy Pantsy seems to be all-powerful.
We can do it if we work together.
The end for now.
Oh,
what?
I sort of saw that coming.
Not again.
Oh, Mr. Eric, for shame.
Yeah, you said it was going to be a two-part story.
I know, everybody, and that's really what I thought it was going to be when I started telling this story last week. But these are off-the-cuff stories, and part of the magic of your what-ifs is that we don't know what's gonna happen. Instead of airing a remastered episode next week, we're gonna give you another brand new episode of What If World, give the Jamaloo family the chance to tell their story, and hopefully take back What If World from Dancy Pantsy, with help from Darcy, and maybe from you and your What If question too. So what do you kids think about Molimo's decision to leave his planet? What might have happened if he'd shown his lava art to others first? How could Dingorn have been a little bit kinder to Molimo, even if he didn't like the lava boil art? Have you ever had a problem that you felt you just couldn't face? Talk to your grown-up. See how you can face it again, even if you're scared. Who knows, maybe in the process, you'll come up with your next what-if question. I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, my producer, Miss Lynn, Craig Martinson for our theme song, and all you kids at home who keep an open mind when experiencing new art, new music, new just about anything. You never know what you might discover when you stay curious. And so, until we meet again, keep wondering.
Gilbert House Children's Museum supports ICANN Radio. With 20 hands-on exhibits located in 5 historic houses of Salem, we provide the opportunity for children to learn through creative play and discovery. For more information, visit acgilbert.org.